Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. I'm Naima Latif, and our top news today at the White House. The White House is holding a summit on air quality, indoor air quality, air which circulates and is affected by everyone in the vicinity breathing. Air is life. And one of the realizations brought by the COVID-19 pandemic is the understanding that everybody's air is everybody's air. And if anybody's air is polluted, everybody's air is polluted. Inside of our structures, the enclosed air circulates, and everyone will experience whatever is in the air, including airborne diseases. Polluted air is toxic. Today, the White House Summit on Indoor Air Quality examines the effects of toxins in the air, how we can improve our air quality, and how structures such as educational institutions may be affected. We'll join this White House Summit in progress as members of the panel take a look at measures that may be used to improve the quality of indoor air.
It's sexy to talk about our dashboards. It's, you know, obviously when you look at student achievement, looking at some of the work that we need to do, that's obviously where the community is, and is, you know, the conversation around looking at our data points. I mean, I do that with my facilities folks and have that discussion internally. It's getting the public to understand. But then also to help in looking at what nationally is happening and being of that part of that conversation. So educate, I think it's more of the education of the public. Thrilled that we're being shined on in terms of a spotlight, but by no means the Denver Public Schools have it all figured out. So I want to put that out there. I'm sure there's others who are struggling, just like we are. But we've done an incredible reaction and response, I should say, to everything that was COVID and our new norm now. When it comes to evaluation, the truth of the matter is there is nothing holding us accountable to doing this, and that's the scary part. So I want to just let that simmer for a second, because anyone can avoid this, right? There are competing priorities when it comes to test scores, when it comes to everything else that you can imagine are things that we're held responsible for. So if it doesn't happen at the federal level, then locally, it's a value statement for a Board of Education or a Board of Trustees to say, okay, this is important to us. Thankfully, that's what my board has done, right? So now it does become an evaluation measure for Denver Public Schools, which I represent as superintendent. In terms of the dashboard and what we're looking for and what we've seen thus far is increased attendance, and I can't stress that enough. You know, being in school matters. Right. It's not the lotto. You have to be winning, and it's a winner. You have to be in there. The more, the merrier. And also, when it comes to our survey results, something that we are prioritizing is self and welcoming environments, and that's just for our students and for our staff. And we've seen some response, and of course, it's coming from COVID. So if that was our baseline, then that's the absolute bottom of the barrel when it comes to how folks were feeling. But we have seen an incline on reception and being a part of the learning community. So when it comes to self and welcoming survey qualitative results and quantitative in terms of attendance, and that's just not for students, our staff attendance as well. And there is a tremendous teacher shortage, right? So that one absence means a tremendous amount, because one absence when you have a couple of vacancies in the school building can easily become an operational closure of that entire school, which means everybody misses out on a day of learning.
So as we move towards the close of our panel here, I want to invite you to think about anything that you want to share, you know, with folks that you haven't gotten a chance to share that might not have asked, and give you a moment to give your closing statements here. And, you know, you heard Dr. Jha this morning talking about the moment that we're in, and Dr. Allen talking about how it is becoming a movement. And it absolutely is. COVID has brought us this moment, and because of the actions of school districts like you see before you right now, it has become a movement towards indoor air quality. But we have this opportunity right now to take this moment that is becoming a movement and turn it into a monument for environmental health and improved indoor air quality, improved health for students and staff in our country forever and ever. Amen. And so that is what I would invite you to do, following the example of these fine gentlemen. And so anything, what do you want to close with?
Yeah, again, thank the Biden and Harris administration for really putting something out into our conversation locally, but also nationally. We don't have it all figured out yet. We got a lot of work to do and a lot of learning. But I would tell you this, that as I mentioned, my board is committed, like just like Dr. Marrero said, but I just can't thank the Biden and Harris administration enough, because this has been really critical for us as a school system. We got just honor to be here. Thank you.
And I want to echo those sentiments of gratitude, honored to be here. You said monumental movement. I'm going to say let's seize the moment and the momentum that we have right now. So add that to the ends, right? So movement, momentum, monument. We're in election season. I know that I'm going to do this when I get back to Denver. There'll be candidates here, whether it's mayor or senator race. I'll be right where you're sitting, and I'm going to say, hey, how are you going to prioritize education? What we're going to do about youth access to firearms and safety in and around schools? And then I'm going to say, what are we doing about sustainability and air quality? I'm asking those questions so I can have our elected, my soon-to-be partners to go on record saying this is a priority, right? So I say on the federal level, let's seize the moment because the opportunity is right now.
Thank you, Dr. Marrero. I'll add your M to that great alliteration, right? So we are moving into, so first of all, please join me in thanking our speakers. We are moving into a break, and as we do, we're going to invite you to return to the room at 2:15. And we will have an afternoon there that will continue with three more panels, and I just want to put a little something in your minds as you go into these panels. We have a framework that we apply to indoor air quality in schools, right, that is organizing, communicating, taking action, planning continuously, and continuous evaluation. Those key drivers are not specific to the school setting. They apply to quality indoor air quality management in any domain and any building type. So as you're listening this afternoon to the panels that are coming up, I want you to be listening for that kind of Rosetta Stone of a framework that we have given you for continuous improvement. You're listening for strategies for organizing, strategies for communicating, strategies for taking effective action, strategies for short and long-term planning, and for continuous evaluation of your success. They are going to surface in everything that you hear this afternoon. So be listening for those and getting ready to take action. We thank you for your attention during our session.
And that was the White House Summit on Indoor Air Quality. Well, in other news, many are still concerned about the voter registration and definitely the kickoff for the early voting has started, and it gives an opportunity for people to participate in the process and to not worry about whether or not their vote is going to count because they have got it in on time. Yesterday, the Rainbow Push Coalition led a caravan of voters to the Board of Elections in order to give many who might otherwise have difficulty getting to the polls a chance to have their vote registered now. And it was also an opportunity to educate voters on some of the possibilities those who are running for office and those who are running for re-election on the ballot. This also is a chance for voters to plan for the next election coming up in 2023 by making sure that they are aware of any of the new changes that have happened as a result of the changes in the boundaries for the wards and the remaps. And across the nation, there are concerns about various changes that have happened, various redistricting that might cause some election day confusion. So early voting has been the means whereby people can, in fact, choose to be active and counted in this upcoming election. There are also many who are concerned that this year they're going to receive changes that they are not prepared, especially when it comes to the issues that are affecting their lives. And they want to make sure that those who are running for office keep in touch with all the different ways that the media has provided for elected officials, whether it be through regular emails, regular live stream meetings, regular newsletters, and even a Facebook page or YouTube channel where they keep the voters informed. So this is a chance for those who are running for office to demonstrate how well they communicate with their constituents by being a part of informing their constituents as to what the changes are in the districts, in the maps, in the voting procedures, and in the accessibility of polling places, especially for those who are the most loyal voters, the seniors. Bishop Tavis Grant, National Education Director of the Rainbow Push Coalition, Monday explained why it's important to early vote as he was standing outside the Chicago Board of Elections awaiting Reverend Jesse L. Jackson Sr. and the busload of voters that came to cast their early vote.
Inflation is on the ballot, healthcare is on the ballot, wages are on the ballot. You need to get to the ballot box and your voice needs to be heard. November 8th, get out and vote. Reverend Jesse Jackson is leading a bus tour, the Arc of Justice tour, is coming here to the super site, here at Claude and Lake Street in Chicago as a part of the 10 million more voters mobilization campaign. His work spans the globe, but it also spans our nation. It's no better time than now for you not only to register to vote, but show up to vote. Poverty is on the ballot, it's issues on the ballot, healthcare is on the ballot, wages are on the ballot. You need to get to the ballot box, and your voice needs to be heard. November 8th, get out and vote.
And there we have the voice of Bishop Tavis Grant, who is the National Executive Director of the Rainbow Push Coalition. And for those who are concerned about the conditions in our public schools, there are a number of organizations that are planning to initiate homeschooling programs that may, in fact, provide what parents are saying has been lacking. There are still schools that are willing to help with parents who are uncomfortable sending their children back to school for whatever reason. And there are schools that have been preparing for alternatives just in case the pandemic continued. And there are a number of schools online that are providing outside social structures for children who are being homeschooled. One such program is the Laurel Springs School Online. And this is a school that for more than 30 years, families around the world have turned to when traditional brick and mortar schools have not met their needs. Laurel School offers 230 college prep courses, 65 world language courses, 58 honors and AP courses, 168 NCAA-approved courses, and 292 UCAG-approved courses. Laurel Springs' online program helps students grow and excel academically and personally. Their innovative and flexible approach enables students to adapt their schedules to outside interests and passions. That includes athletics, performing arts, and STEM programs, and also programs for accelerated learners and international students. The time management between school and athletics can be difficult, but this is a curriculum that allows students to accomplish both things and still excel. The diverse curriculum fosters an opportunity for each student's educational path to flourish and to be inspired with personal and academic growth and mastery. It offers programs that engage students grades K through 5, as well as middle school grades 6 through 8, and high school grades 9 through 12. And this is an academy that also offers summer programs. So, the academy at Laurel Springs School is a rigorous academic program, and many who are seeking to have an alternative if they are still uncomfortable with bringing their children back to a physical school setting, they can go to laurelsprings.com. That's LaurelSprings.com. Academics is a concern for a number of elected officials as parents make decisions on voting based on some of the ideas that elected officials have put forth regarding school funding and whether the funding is to come from taxes or other means. And in some instances, the questions are asked, do lower-income students get their fair share of school funding? Research suggests increased spending on education can improve student outcomes, especially among low-income students. This means that targeted increases in funding could help narrow the achievement gap between the poor and non-poor students. But given the complexities of our school finance system, can policymakers actually direct funds to the students who need them most? Public schools are funded through a combination of local, state, and federal dollars. In the 1920s, local governments provided more than 80% of school funding. Today, state and local governments provide an equal share of school funding, with the federal government covering less than 10%. Money for public schools does not flow directly to the schools, however. Local and state dollars, as well as some federal funds, are distributed to districts, which then hire staff, build and maintain schools, and buy supplies. State funding is the primary mechanism for targeting districts that serve disadvantaged students. The federal government similarly attempts to channel funding towards students from low-income families. But whether funding is progressive, with the most money going to low-income students, or regressive, with more money going to non-poor students, depends on the interaction of multiple funding streams, policies, and the demographic structure of the state and its districts. So these issues are what many of the elected officials will need to address as parents consider whether or not their child is receiving the best educational opportunities. Is the environment safe? Is the academic program sufficient? Are the teachers sensitive to the special needs of each child, especially the special needs children? And is this a program that the child can flourish both academically and socially? As parents ask themselves these questions, a number of online virtual classrooms are being created so that parents have a choice. What are your thoughts about public school adequacy? And do you think that the educational process is changing with the 2 years of COVID, going on 3 years in many instances of restricted interaction for young people in classroom settings? Would we do better to make education an online process altogether? Does this cut down on some of the concerns regarding school bullying or neglect? And what about those families that depend on the schools and their supplemental food programs for their children's health and nutritional needs? Are we able to continue that kind of nutritional support for children from low-income families? Is there a better way to make sure all children get the required education, the desired education, the productive education that will enhance their academic skills, their knowledge, and their preparedness to function and contribute to the greater society? We'd like you to give us a call, 515-605-9749. That's 515-605-9749, and voice your opinion regarding this issue. Are you believing that public school is no longer the best place to educate your child? Would you prefer to educate your child from an online platform as opposed to in person?
90.
Are you more comfortable educating your child at home? Or if you had the experience of virtual education during the pandemic years, was it a complete disaster that you have no desire to you have no desire to attempt ever again? Think about it.
60 seconds.
Well, that's all for now. We want you to consider your options and make sure you take advantage of the early voting in your area. And take a look at the educational options that are available online and available across the world, and it may be the best option for your child. I'm Naima Lateef for On Air Daily News, and until tomorrow, we want you to enjoy the rest of your day and make sure you make a difference.